Friends, as always, grace, peace, and mercy to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus the Christ. So, church, we've come to the end of our sermon series entitled, To Grow or Not to Grow. In these past three Sundays, I've shared with you the seven basic common traits that all living things have in common. And I've concluded that we as a congregation, as the church body of Christ, we are a living organism made up of people who are living beings. And as living organism, we share in those seven common traits of all living things. And one of the traits that we have the ability to do. One of these traits is the ability to grow, both physically and spiritually. Last Sunday, I preached on our need as a church, as the body of Christ, to grow and increase in faith, to grow spiritually. From the Apostle Peter's second letter, I encourage us all to pursue and to add to our daily life Peter's seven virtues, which were goodness, knowledge or wisdom, self-control, perseverance, godliness, mutual affection, and love. Of course, the desired outcomes of pursuing and applying these virtues into our daily life are so that we would produce good works. Now, as I said last Sunday, the good works that we do is not for God's sake. It's not for our salvation's sake, but it's for the sake and well-being of our neighbors. And as we do good works, and as we be good workers for our neighbors and for those whom God puts in our path, we are to be reminded of what Jesus said, that we're to let our light shine before others so that they may see our good works and give glory to our Father in heaven. So, having those 3 weeks behind us and coming to the last of our sermon series on whether to grow or not to grow, the question is, so now what? Now what? Do we grow or do we not grow? What do y'all think? Grow? That's funny because that's the same answer the first service said. Yes, I concur. We as a body of Christ are to grow. We as a congregation, as the body and bride of Christ, as a living organism, we must grow. Both physically, in numbers, and spiritually, in faith in Christ Jesus. And I believe that when, not if, but when we grow in faith and faithfully respond to God's mercy and God's unfathomable love toward us, when we grow, then we will physically, both in numbers and in finances, then we will grow physically. You see, God's kingdom grows mysteriously. God's kingdom grows miraculously. You know, the ancient people in Jesus' day knew nothing about the power of which transformed a seed into a plant. They knew nothing of that. All they knew is that they sowed a seed in the ground, and the rain comes, and the sun comes, and day and night they start seeing transformation in the soil, and before you know it, harvest time comes. A farmer would sow the ground, the seed, and he would wait. As I said, the rain would come and the farmer would get up day and night, and he'll do, he knows not how the seed he put in the ground grows, all that he knows is that it does. It does. And when it grows and brings a harvest, he goes and harvests it and gives thanks. In Mark's gospel, the fourth chapter, I invite you to turn to it if you're not familiar with the story. Mark chapter 4, verses 26 and following tells us the story of Jesus' parable. Jesus said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come." Then Jesus goes on and tells another parable, and he says, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed you plant in the ground. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of the garden plants, with such big branches that the birds of the air can perch in its shade." The image that Jesus used to speak about the growth of his people, the church, is about this small, tiny seed that grows into a large shrub, a large plant that even birds can shelter in its shades. See, God's kingdom, friends, comes often in tiny seeds. Yeah, as small as a mustard seed, but when planted, when tended to, would grow. Similarly, God's word, planted and tended and cared for, would grow into a saving faith in us and in others. People would come to know and to love the Lord and therefore would respond to his love, not so much because of techniques or programs, not so much because of gimmicks and theatrics, but by authentic witness of God's saving grace in a sharing and caring relationships. It's the witnessing that we do in caring and in sharing with one another, that people are enriched, their lives and their relationship with Christ becomes meaningful, and therefore they respond to the news, to the good news. Now, the word care or caring is an interesting concept. It's an interesting word in our English language. It comes from the Greek word kata, which means to cry out. To care, therefore, means to cry out with those who are ill, those who are confused, those who are lonely, those who are isolated, those who are often forgotten. To care is to cry out with the millennial generations who are suspicious of organized religion. To care is to cry out with the Generation X who have a tremendous fear of commitment. To care is to cry out with the baby boomers in midlife crisis and in their impending retirements. And of course, to care is to cry out with the older generation who feel redundant and often feel left behind. One of my favorite theologian and spiritual leader is a man by the name of Henry Nouwen. Henry Nouwen wrote about care in this way. He said, to care is to embrace affectionately those who are touched by hostile hands. To care is to listen attentively to those whose words are only heard by greedy ears. And to care is to speak gently with those who are used to harsh words and impatient requests. To care is to be present with those who suffer and to stay present with them when nothing can be done to change their situation. Friends, are you one of those who are in need of care from your brothers and sisters? Do you know of someone who you can care in these ways, who you can cry out with in these ways? Friends, God's kingdom comes in mysterious and wonderful ways indeed. Like a seed that miraculously grows day and night until the grain is ready to be harvested. I know it is hard for us sometimes to understand that our task, our simple task, is to sow the seed and to water it and to watch and to wait for the harvest. See, we live in a society, we live in a world that rewards doing rather than being. We quickly look to the bottom line. We see success and we demand success in business, in families. We demand success in schools and even in churches. One of my spiritual mentors at my ordination looked me in the eyes and reminded me that I am called as an ordained minister of Christ to be faithful, not to be successful. Because one will follow the other. Those words are gospel to me. It relieves a lot of pressure. We, as the body of Christ, are called to be faith-filled people. And our faithfulness will lead into success in however way the Lord sees and deems that fit. I know that we are uncomfortable with anything that does not show clear results. We are people that are result-oriented, and we're proud of that. We demand results, and if it doesn't produce results, we move on. If it doesn't produce an outcome that we desire, we skip and move to the next. But you know what? God's kingdom is not quantifiable. It cannot be measured by human tools. The parable that Jesus uses points out clearly that we as human beings can witness to one another. We can be each other's witnesses of how God grows our faith. We can preach and teach the gospel. We can care for one another and for others. And the good news is that it is really God's Spirit which works in human hearts and build our faith. We may plant and water and watch the seed grow. But the good news is that it is God who gives the growth. It is God who gives the growth. It is He who makes the seed grow. That's a word which we all need to hear. We all need to hear this word, that it is God who gives the growth. It is important for us to hear it, especially when we feel pressured to grow the church like the church down the street. We look at them and they're growing by leaps and bounds, and we say, we need to do that too. I tell you, I have good news for you. Each church has its own DNA. Each church, as a living organism, is different one from another. What works in others, not necessarily going to work here. All is required of us is to be faithful at it. Success will follow. We must not forget that it is God who works the miracle of growth. And our part is to plant, to sow the seed. Our part is to tend to the ground, to care for it, and then watch what God does best. It allows life to spring and allows harvest to come. Now, we need to be clear that we're all to be about caring for people and their relationship to Christ. It's not about institutional maintenance. It's not about keeping the doors of the church open. It is God's church. It is Christ's church. He wills what happens to it. Our job is to sow, to tend, to care, and the Lord will do the rest. Our role is to be faithful. For God, for growth is God's work, God's miracle. It's not ours. Our part is to be faithful at caring for it, at tilling, at tending, at weeding the garden that growth will come. The parable that Jesus used tells us one thing, that we are to value people for who they are, not for what they have done or what they could do for us, not for what they have or what they possess. No, we're to value people for who they are. In fact, the parable teaches us to value what is insignificant, what is small, what is often forgettable in our society. And when we value those, be prepared. Be prepared to be surprised when God makes even the tiniest, the smallest, the insignificant among us to be the greatest. That's how God does. It's like an acorn that grows into a mighty oak tree. You know, when the Roman Emperor Valerian, back in the 3rd century, when he was persecuting Christians, he was persecuting the church, he demanded that the church within his empire hand over all of their assets, all of their treasures to him. There was one of 7 deacons in Rome who did just that. Deacon Lawrence, known today as St. Lawrence the Deacon, St. Lawrence decided to give away all the wealth of the church to the poor in Rome, and then brought them all, the poor, the lame, the sick, the widows, the orphans, the ones who have been marginalized by society. He brought them all to Rome in front of the emperor and said, these are the treasures of the church. Of course, St. Lawrence was quickly killed for defying the order of the empire. But that is true. The treasures of the church are our children, our teenagers, our young adults, our 20-something, our 30-something years old, our midlife troubled individuals, our aged. The treasures of the church are the infirm, those who are shut-ins, the powerless among us, the financially strapped. the handicapped, and those who are differently abled. Those are the people that are important to God. Those are the people that God put in our path to care for, to cry out with, to tend. They, like us, therefore, need to be told over and over and over again of God's love, of God's mercy, of that love that will not let us go. That love, then, tell them of that love that God values them, that God accepts them and values them, for he has created them in his likeness. It is in people like these that the seed of the gospel, the good news, is to be planted, watered, and will grow as they blossom in their relationship with Jesus, which is the harvest. Yes, God gives the growth. The Apostle Paul was correct in that. And he insisted that we know that. It is God who gives the growth. Those of you who are at the Ash Wednesday service know that we, during this season of Lent, are embarking on a campaign. It's the Do Something campaign. And if you want to know more about that, please talk to me or read the newsletter that's coming out this week. The Do Something campaign invites us to do good works, not for the sake of our salvation. That's covered. Jesus got that covered for you. But the Do Something campaign is for you to do something for the sake of your neighbor. Because that is what we're called to do. To care. To cry out with. So that they may have relationship with Jesus. God gives the growth indeed. So, wait for it. Watch for it. It'll come, and you'll see. And then, give thanks for it. Amen.